Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
And I am joined from the University of Minnesota by Julie Weisenhorn. Hi, Julie. Good morning.
Good
nice
morning.
To see you.
How are you?
I'm doing quite well. I was going to say that I'm proud dad. I forgot to mention that I finally got, well, he finally got it. But my son is now an alumnus of the U of M.
Hey.
We got his diploma
Very cool.
framed, so
awesome.
It's legitimate.
Awesome.
It was not created on the internet.
That's awesome.
It took a while, but he got it. So congratulations to Tony.
Yeah,
but anyway,
I'm always happy to hear that.
We are here to talk lawns and gardens, and Julie Weisenhorn is the expert who's going to answer your questions either by phone or by text. And again, that's the same number. So if you want to chat with Julie, that's good, 651-989-9226. Or the same number applies to text messages, if that is easier for you. And you know, and Julie knows, that we get really busy.
Yes.
Some folks wait till the last 5 minutes, and
yeah.
Then we have tons of questions that we can't
People
get
People are just
answered.
Making so, their coffee right now.
Yeah. So call in or text in your question, whatever is easier. And we're talking lawns and gardens on this Smart Garden Show. All right. What is Julie doing now, getting ready? Now, I'm seeing a lot of my lawn now.
Are you?
I'm not walking on it.
Okay.
Don't
That's
do
good.
That yet, right?
That's right, yeah.
And why is that?
Well, right now our lawns are pretty spongy.
Yeah.
As they start to thaw out. Now, they could still be frozen too, but with the temperatures we're going to have today and tomorrow, at least the top few inches of soil might start to get a little thawed out, particularly on south and western sides of your house. But walking on it can compact that soil down right now. So it's kind of delicate, and you want to stay off of it as much as you can. Not to say you can't cross your yard, but you don't want to be raking. You don't want to playing on it too much if you got kids. But just kind of staying off of it until it dries out a little bit more.
Somebody a couple of days ago was asking me about trimming oak trees. And I thought, gee, it's getting – the window's kind of closing,
Yeah, you got a
it?
Couple more weeks.
Couple more.
The recommendation is not to trim your oak trees from April through June because of oak wilt potential spread. So this is still a low risk or no risk type of situation. But, you know, as temperatures warm up, that might change. But right now it's still April through June.
Okay, good to know.
To not prune.
Not prune, right.
So you got a couple more weeks.
All right, tell you what, let's go to the phones. Robert is first up here calling from Bloomington. Robert, you're on with Julie.
Good morning.
Morning.
Good morning. I have a question is about neonicotinoids.
Okay.
I have a Dakota pinnacle birch tree.
Ooh, I love that tree.
See, and last year it was recommended to me that I use a product called Optrol. Because the tree suffers from, I think, Japanese beetles and possibly leaf miners.
Okay.
And I understand that product contains neonicotinoids, so I'm wondering, is there an alternative that does not contain that chemical?
Boy, that's a good question for an arborist. I'm not sure about alternative ways of treating those leaf miners are... cosmetic. They are not going to kill the tree. The Japanese beetles, likewise, are likely cosmetic damage. Now, I know that, you know, when you see your tree being defoliated, you're thinking, oh, that's going to kill the tree. But our recommendations with Japanese beetles is that if a tree is healthy, it can survive, and it's a fairly large tree. It can survive Japanese beetle feeding, and so not to do anything about it. One of the best ways to keep that tree healthy, of course, particularly with birches, is to keep the roots cool and protected and to make sure it gets enough water if we go into a dry part of the season, and to pay attention to it, prune it properly and keep it as stress-free as possible. So the leaf miner, I'm surprised that they would treat for leaf miner. I'm not an arborist, but that's really a cosmetic thing. And the same with Japanese beetles to a certain extent. So unless the tree is a very small, young tree, if it's a healthy, mature tree, then keeping it healthy is your best defense against these insects. So I don't know if there's any arborists listening, but if you want to weigh in on that, that would be great. We really try to prevent, try to keep from using too many chemicals for what we consider to be cosmetic damage.
All right. Very good. Thanks, Robert. Appreciate that.
Yeah, boy, that's a tough question to start with.
No, that's all right. But we may get calls about that.
Our arborists in Minnesota
are
terrific.
We have so many good ones.
Yeah, they're very good. We have certified arborists. And if you're looking for one and not sure where to call, you can contact your city. Some cities have an arborist on staff who can come out, or a forester can come out and take a look at your trees. But also you can go to the International Society of Arboriculture website, which I believe is ISA.org. But if you Google that society, you can find it. And you can put your zip code in, and it will come up with certified arborists that are in your area. So, it's a big community and very knowledgeable.
651-989-9226 for your phone calls or text messages for Julie. Speaking of text, here's one. You're going to have to help me this. I'd like to know how to stratify milkweed seeds so I can plant them this spring. Do I have enough time? And what does that mean?
So stratification is a cold treatment of seeds, kind of mimicking winter. And so milkweed seeds, I'm not sure how long they need to be stratified. But usually I think right now it's probably past that. You've probably kind of missed that. I think that's usually at least several months. And so you'd put them into, say, the freezer or refrigerator and then plant them after a certain amount of time. And it's a treatment that prompts germination of the seed and is required for that seed to germinate.
Okay, very good. Let's see, here's one. I split my peonies, replanted last fall. Your website said I should put mulch around each plant. When should I remove this mulch? Thank you.
As the plants come up, you can just push that mulch away from the plants. You'll see them start to come up as our temperatures warm up this spring. And then just push the mulch off of those. Keep the mulch around them. That will help keep the roots protected. Keep them cool. It will prevent soil from splashing up onto the leaves as the plants grow. And also keep your weed pressure down.
Okay. Preparation for hibiscus this spring. Planted last year, did not cut down before winter. Good or bad?
Oh, I think you can go ahead and you can cut that down this spring. I think that would be fine.
Not a problem. All right. Let's grab a call from Bob, who's calling in from Ham Lake this morning. Bob, you're on with Julie.
Hi, Julie.
Good morning.
I live in Ham Lake, where my soil, or the area that I want to plant my larch trees, is quite heavy. It was pasture land many years ago.
Okay.
There's a lot of black dirt, very thick, and it does retain a lot of moisture. You could probably in the spring dig down and get seawater at a foot down. I'm wondering if that's an okay area to plant larch trees, and where can I get them?
Yeah, so the larch is a deciduous conifer, and it's a beautiful tree. So I would say that most likely that's okay to plant them there. I know they grow in bogs up north naturally and in kind of wet conditions. I believe that you could order them from one of our native plant nurseries. You can also contact the DNR. They have a list of native plant nurseries on their website, or contact them. They sometimes, it might be too late for this, but they will sell trees, also sell bulk numbers. But they would probably be able to guide you toward a source for larch trees. The other source that you could use is an arboretum database called Plant Information Online. And you can find it if you go to the Arboretum site and tap and type in Plant Information Online into their search window or search box. You can come to that database, and it's a database of retail and wholesale sources for plants and seeds. And so if you're looking for a particular plant, like you're looking for larch, that would be a great place to start.
Very good, Bob. Thank you. Appreciate the call. Bob leaves that line open, 651-989-9226. Same number applies to your text questions, and we have a bunch of those, too. Let's take a quick break here. 8:15. Don't forget, set your clocks back 1 hour as you retire tonight. We rejoin Daylight Saving Time tomorrow. And good morning. Welcome back to our Smart Garden Show. I was just testing to see if you were paying attention. And what do I mean by that? I misspoke. Yes, I was thinking about not to rush in the seat. I don't want to lose an hour of sleep, okay? And your clocks. It's spring ahead, fall back, right?
Yes.
Spring ahead. So we lose an hour of sleep. So set your clocks ahead.
So no texting.
Yeah, we've got it.
We got it.
Okay. Let's make
it. We wrote a big note here.
Let's make it strictly lawn and garden, okay? Nothing like being corrected, just like home. Okay, where are we here? Good morning, says great program. Is it a good time to trim flowering crab trees?
It sure is. This is a great time to trim flowering crab trees. We recommend trimming fruit trees, crab apple trees. Right now, this is a great time. And what it does is it allows the plant to heal before the warm season happens and all those pesky little bugs and insects and fungal spores floating around in the air are active. So it gets healed up.
Okay.
Yeah, it's a good time.
If you want to call in your question, 651-989-9226 or send a text. All right. What time is it? It's 8:20. Well, actually,
Are you sure?
It's 8:21 Central Standard Time. Just checking. All right. Happy almost spring, it says, texter his. Should I be removing the burlap from my delicate evergreens?
Yeah, I think you probably can. That burlap is really to prevent the desiccation from really, really cold weather and the winds that we get here in Minnesota. So during the weather. So, yeah, you can go ahead and remove those now.
Okay. Here's a text that says, I inherited a Christmas cactus 10-plus years ago. I have no idea how old it is. I have repotted it a number of times, and now it is 3 feet in diameter.
3 feet.
Is there a limit to how big it can grow, or is it limited by simply not being able to handle it at a larger size?
Wow. I have no idea how big they'll get. I suppose in their natural habitat.
Oh, 10-plus years.
Yeah, that's a big plant. Yeah, it may be just limited by the pot that it's in, by the container. And certainly by the fact that it's being grown in a container, that's probably it too. But boy, that's a really good question. I think that you could continue to repot it. I guess it depends on how long you want to keep, you know, propagating a 3 foot wide plant. But I bet it's beautiful when it blooms.
I bet.
Man, I bet it's incredible. Yeah, I think it's just. I would say it probably can get quite large, but I'm not sure how big they grow in their natural habitat. So. Not sure. That's a great question. I might have to look that one up.
Very good. Some homework.
Yeah.
Did I suggest you turn your clocks ahead 1 hour? All right.
Spring ahead.
Spring ahead.
Fall back. I always think of when I think of fall back, those things where you the trust, what is it called? The trust circle where you fall back.
Yeah. Then they let
and
go of you.
And then somebody looks away because there's a noise at the door or something.
I have two questions, Texter says. One, I have 5 blue spruce that we planted 2 summers ago, 4 feet tall. Is there anything I should fertilize them with this spring? The other question is, I have rhubarb. This will be its first spring. Is there anything I should do for that?
So the spruce trees, water is going to be your biggest benefit for those. So and that depends on our weather. If we get, you know, solid rains in spring and we have cool weather, that's great to kind of keep those plants watered. But really, it's just watering at this point. I don't know if you need to really fertilize them. They're pretty young plants. They're probably just reestablishing their roots still. So keeping them watered well, mulch the roots to keep them cool, hold in moisture, keep the weed pressure down, all good things to do. And as far as the rhubarb goes, I would I know that rhubarb is a big feeder. In other words, it requires a lot of fertilizer to really produce. And I would direct you to our extension website where under our vegetable page, we have a page on rhubarb. And I would recommend that you take a look at that. And that's going to be at extension.umn.edu. And then you can just type rhubarb in the search window and it will bring you to that webpage.
All right. Rumor has it Julie is the orchid queen.
Well, that's what? A crazy rumor.
What resources do you recommend for success with Phalaenopsis orchids in Minnesota? Love this show.
Oh, well, thank you. I love doing this show. First of all, I am not an orchid queen. I'm a hobbyist. But I do love orchids, and I particularly love the challenge of growing them. And Phalaenopsis or moth orchids are one of the easier orchids to grow. What I find to be important with those plants is, number one, is they like cooler temperatures, so you don't want to put them in a very hot location in your house. They also do well if you use special water to water them. In other words, rainwater, that's untreated, reverse osmosis water, which is the water you can buy at the grocery store, distilled water, and then just a real mild orchid fertilizer every few weeks if it's not blooming, and then when it is blooming, just like about a half strength or so of what's recommended on the bottle when the plant is blooming. And be sure that they drain well. Too often, I think the number one way that people kill orchids is they think they are tropical, so they have to be wet all the time. And that is not the case. They're an epiphyte, meaning that they grow in nature on other plants. They're not parasitic, but they grow and they take their moisture and their nutrients from the plant that they are growing on, and they also take it from the rainwater and the humidity that's around them. So so really for us trying to grow them in a house, the important thing is to allow them to drain well, put them in a sink, let them drain very well, and then use a water that's untreated. Don't use a tap water. Well water is also good, too, if you have well water.
Very good. Let's see. Jerry in St. Paul is calling in with a question, I do believe. Jerry, you're on with Julie.
Yeah, hi there. Julie, I have an area in my yard. It's only probably about 6 feet by 6 feet. And over the last decade, it just sank a little bit. So I'd say I've got about 3-inch drop there, and I have to either put seed sod, or can I put dirt over the whole works and just let the grass seed or the existing lawn just come back up through it, through that black dirt?
I think when you have a low spot like that, you can, let me think about that for a moment. I think what I'm, because it's not a very big area, you could try putting some, you could aerate that maybe, and then top dress it with some soil and seed to get some grass to grow in that space. Or you could take off that sod from that area, use a sod cutter, and then till in some new soil to fill in that area, and then reseed it. And I would recommend seeding it because it will help to blend in better with your existing lawn. So those low areas are difficult because, if you've got grass growing on it now, you kind of hate to take it off. But I think that's going to be your best way for evening that space out.
Yeah, it makes sense.
Yeah, or you could plant a garden on top of it.
There you go. Thanks, Jerry. 651-989-9226. When and how, Texter says, can I divide a hydrangea that has overgrown its space and is crowding other shrubs?
Well, that's a case where the plant was not the right plant for that location because it's too large. And so the difficulty with blooming plants is you can certainly prune them and keep them cut back, but the more you do it, the longer you do it, year after year, the less productive that plant is going to be. So you can try to move the plant. You can get rid of the plant and put something in there that will be more suitable from the size. There's a lot of different hydrangeas that are out on the market, including smaller sized hydrangeas, compact sized hydrangeas that that might do better there instead of trying to keep this plant pruned. Blooming plants, You know, the more you prune them back, they become eventually over the years, they'll become a lot of just woody stems and not a whole lot of flowers. So you can try to do that now while you're thinking about it, but you might want to start investigating maybe some other newer varieties of hydrangeas that would be better suited for that space from a size standpoint.
Very good, Julie. We need to take a quick bottom of the hour break. We have another half hour of the show to go. But don't wait. If you have a question, lawn or garden type of question, call it in or text it in, 651-989-9226. And welcome back to our Smart Garden Show. Danny Long here with Julie Wisenhorn from the University of Minnesota. Julie also reminds you to spring ahead, to lose an hour of sleep tonight. So we set our clocks ahead 1 hour. Okay, we got that straight?
Yeah.
Fortunately.
Thank goodness you're here.
My goodness. Confusing. If you want to ask Julie your lawn and garden question by phone or by text, same number, 651-989-9226. Text to Julie wants to know, any plans to publish the garden calendar again?
Oh, yeah, the garden calendar. No, there's no plans to republish that.
We miss it.
Yep. Yeah, it was a great, great publication. But, you know, to be honest, people weren't buying paper calendars. There weren't enough to keep the project afloat.
I like paper calendars.
I do like paper calendars. I always have one. I have one of, I think it's from the MDA or the DNR. I can't remember. It's on invasive species. And we get them at, get them at the Arboretum.
Sure.
Yeah. There's a lot of great calendars out there, but we were just not, that was not a project that was making sense for us anymore. So
that'd be a great place.
I was
to
on
get
it for a long time.
I'm going to go to the Arboretum, get a calendar.
Yeah. Oh, they have beautiful calendars. Yeah.
Okay. Let's see. What's the secret, Texter says, to getting orchids to bloom again this spring?
Well, the secret to getting orchids to bloom is to be super patient and to appreciate when the leaves look great and when the roots look great, because that is how you're going to see them for at least probably 3/4 of the year. Some people have orchids that reliably bloom mine bloom mostly in the winter, actually, once they're in the house. They really don't bloom that much in the warmer weather. But that's just me. So it's really being patient. It's keeping the plant healthy and being sure not to overwater it, as I mentioned earlier. There are lots of good resources on orchids. There's the American Orchid Society, which if you are an orchid fan, it's a great thing to be a member of. They have a wonderful monthly digital newsletter that comes out, or magazine that comes out, and great articles. I'm reading mine right now. We also have good orchid resources here in Minneapolis from our garden centers and greenhouses. You can Google those and find those online and kind of explore those. So there's also orchid shows. Now the Como Park Conservatory has an orchid show every year. It's over. It's in January. And the Arboretum had a beautiful flower show, which was more than orchids, but there are orchids out there in that flower show. And you can still see a lot of the orchids in their conservatory there. So I would recommend just learning about that and getting some good books on orchids treating them nicely.
All right. Good ideas. Texter Julie says, should I unwrap my little fir trees?
Yeah, I think you can. We wrap those trees because of the really dry, cold winter winds that we have. And I think I can safely say, since it's going to be 63 degrees tomorrow, that we maybe are past that.
Maybe even 65.
So I think you can go ahead and unwrap them.
By the way, if you have a question you want to ask Julie via text, 651-989-9226. When is a good time to repot an avocado tree? It's over 6 feet tall now.
Holy cow. Well, I would definitely get some friends to help you. That'd be one thing. Over 6 feet tall. When you have an indoor plant that's growing in a container like that, how do you know when it's time to repot it? Is if you water it and it dries out within 24 hours, it's definitely needs a larger pot with more soil in it. If you water it and all the water runs out the bottom, it's time to repot it. If you can lift it out of its pot and it comes out in one big ball of soil but mostly roots, it's time to repot it. So I would take a look at some of those things if it's growing great and the water stays in the pot and it, you know, it's soaked up into the soil and there's plenty of soil in there, according to the, you know, how many roots you have in that. But then I think that that would, then you're fine. You don't need to repot it at that point.
Do they produce fruit?
I don't know if it's difficult to say whether they would produce fruit in an indoor situation.
Yeah.
Probably not.
Not like a Meyer
probably
lemon.
Probably not. Yeah. No, not like a Meyer lemon.
Okay.
How's your Meyer lemon, buddy?
You know, actually, I was just thinking, I can see the lemons on there getting yellow now.
Wow.
Yeah,
Send me a picture.
They're like bigger than baseballs.
Yeah. They're not very big. They're not huge, but.
They're really
big. Are yours big?
Oh, they are. Yeah.
Oh, sorry.
Yeah.
my faux pas.
The land of the giants. But I haven't tasted them.
Have you been fertilizing it?
Sandy takes care of that.
Okay.
I think. But it's healthy.
Apparently.
So something's working.
Growing fruit. Yeah.
Right. Good morning. Texter says, when should I cut back all of the perennials, such as echinacea and coneflowers, that I left up for, quote, winter interest? Thank you.
Well, good for you for leaving them up for winter interest. That is terrific. You can cut those back anytime. They're dead. And again, being careful, you know, if you're out prowling around in your garden, you know, just realize that when you're stepping on very wet soil, that you're compacting it down. So if you're going to go into your garden, go in on the same path. We all kind of have these little paths in our garden that we follow to get, you know, deeper into them. And just kind of stay on that. Don't walk all over all the soil, but just, you know, stay on that little path to get back there to prune them off.
Okay. 651-989-9226. Back to the phones we go. Julie, Virginia's calling from Bloomington. Good morning, Virginia.
Good morning.
Morning.
I have an amaryllis that I've had for years. And a couple of years ago, it struggled to even come alive after I had acquired for the winter. And then, but I kept it. And last year, it grew great guns.
Awesome.
Now, this year, all I get are two stalks, and the blossoms are huge, as usual, but there's no leaves.
The leaves will come after it blooms.
Well, other years, the leaves have come about the same time the stalks have.
Oh, that's interesting. It sounds to me like you're doing the right thing, though. If you've got those bulbs to rebloom, that's great. And I would just be patient, and I'm guessing that you'll start to see leaves come out as soon as those stalks are starting to fade.
Very good. Thanks, Virginia.
Shortly thereafter.
Back to the text. Let's see, where did I leave off? Okay. Regarding that jumbo Christmas cactus question.
Oh, yeah.
I have a plant, texter says, of similar size and advanced age. 2 years ago, I ran out of room for the plant and trimmed it back. It has not bloomed since. How long do you think before it might bloom again? Perhaps trimming was a bad idea, the texter says.
Oh, I don't know if it was a bad idea. I think the plants actually respond pretty well to trimming. And especially bringing them back, I think it's just going to take a little bit of time for it to just set buds again. So keep it healthy and keep it. Make sure that it's watered and drains well. That's important with Christmas cactus, not to overwater them. And it sounds like if you're seeing a lot of new leaves and new growth, maybe a little shot of fertilizer if you're not fertilizing it would help. When we see our houseplants actively growing, it's a good time to start fertilizing them. So if you haven't been over the winter. So I was looking over all of my Christmas cactus. Yesterday I did some division and some transplanting, and they were looking great. So they're actually budding again. So so that's good. But they like very cool temperatures. And remember that their photoperiod plants, so that means that they actually will bud as the light is less, which is why they're Christmas cactus. But sometimes plants surprise us. Sometimes they will bud like mine are now when the days are getting longer. So kind of crazy that
mind
way.
Mind
of its own, yeah.
I know we have to break here shortly, but Texas says, how do I cut back succulents in a pot? They're getting too big.
Well, it depends on the kind of succulents. If they're jade, that's pretty easy to do. You can pinch them back, meaning you can pinch back the top few leaves. But if there are other kinds like more of a rosette form, there's not much you can do about that. That is the form of the plant. And if you cut it back, you will probably not get something to regrow from it. So It's going to depend on the kind it is. What I'd recommend is if you know where you got them, there's some good greenhouses. Succulents are very popular. Either check online for the type that you have or visit one of our local garden centers and ask them.
All right, we'll do that. We need to take a break, Julie. It's 39 degrees in the Twin Cities. CCU time is exactly 8:43. Another reminder, we'll get back into daylight saving time tomorrow, early tomorrow morning. Don't forget to set your clocks ahead 1 hour. Spring ahead 1 hour as you retire tonight. And welcome back to our Smart Garden Show. Julie Wisenhorn in studio helping you out. 651-989-9226. That's the number for both the phone call or text question for Julie. Julie, let's grab a couple of phone calls, and then we'll get some more text messages done. Alan is calling in from St. Louis Park. Alan, good morning. What can we do for you?
Hi, good morning. Last fall, I put down some seed doing a dormant seeding on about a 6-by-10-foot area of fresh soil.
Okay.
And I'm just wondering, in the off chance that we have a cool, dry spring, at what point should we start watering that soil?
I would say when the soil gets when you can see that it's noticeably dry, and you can just poke your finger in and feel the first couple of inches of soil, and if it's dry, I'd start watering it because that seed is not going to germinate without that water. So, just basic visual cues.
Okay, thanks, Alan. Appreciate the call. Let's see. Boy, we've got so many texts.
I know.
All right.
They're very diverse.
I have a 24-inch variegated elongated leaf houseplant. I don't know the name, but there's evidence of some scale.
Oh,
what causes tiny sticky dots under some of the leaves?
Well, scale is a sucking insect, and it is a protected insect. The insect is actually under a little covering, and it looks like a little scaly thing. It is difficult to control scale, and depending on what this plant is, being a house plant, and it sounds like it's a foliage plant because they didn't indicate that it bloomed at all. But you could treat this plant with a systemic for sucking insects. There are a number of them out on the market. It is usually a granular that you mix into the soil and then you water it, and it's taken up through the roots of the plant and dispersed amongst the leaves and the branches, stems, etc. And that when the insect then feeds on the plant, it eats some of that poison and dies. But scale are pretty resilient. They are, because they're in this protective covering, spraying your plant with a contact pesticide doesn't work well. You can, if they're only on a certain part of the plant, you can consider pruning that section off, or you can hand pick them off. But my experience has been that they're very hard to get rid of. So you might want to consider if the plant is worth keeping, if it doesn't have any sentimental value or you haven't invested a whole lot of time into it. It doesn't sound like you're not sure what kind it is, so it's kind of hard to say if there's any other alternatives. But that scale is tough. That is a very difficult insect to get rid of.
Nasty.
Very hard. We do have good information on all household or houseplant pests on our extension site on our houseplant webpage. So that's extension.umn.edu. And you can type in scale and it will come right up for you.
All right. Back to the phones we go, Julie. Ethel's calling from Arden Hills. Ethel, you're on CCO with Julie.
Okay. I just wanted to report that I have a 2-year-old Christmas cactus. It bloomed with 35 beautiful blooms in November. In January, I had 25 beautiful red blooms. And now today, I counted 22 more blooms.
Holy cow.
Wow, something's right.
So, wow.
I don't know what I'm doing, but it's a
Keep
beautiful
doing it.
Cactus.
That is awesome. What great news to hear that.
Wow.
That's great. I think that's almost 100 blooms if I was
Isn't
doing
that,
my math. No, it's about 70, 80 blooms.
Something?
Yeah. That's great.
Thank you, Ethel.
Clearly
Appreciate
doing something
that.
Correct, Ethel. Thank you.
Meanwhile, back Thanks in the text says, my amaryllis did not bloom. It set 4 new bulbs. How and when do I remove those baby bulbs? Love the show.
You can take those off at any time. You can dig up that plant, that bulb, the mother bulb it's called, and then just take a nice sharp knife and trim those off. And you can pot those up. Now, it will take a long time for those small bulbs to bloom because they have to store quite a bit of energy. But if you put them in, they don't need to be in a big pot. Amaryllis kind of like to be in smaller pots, so just a couple inches, maybe bigger than that bulb. And then just kind of wait and see if you can get them to bloom again.
All right. Any way to save geranium buds when cut plant down to 3 inches? They have bloomed all winter and still going. Do you understand that? Any way to save geranium buds when they cut the plant down to 3 inches? I think that's what they're trying to say.
I'm not sure I understand. Maybe retext that a little clearer.
They have all bloomed. They bloomed all winter still going. But
well, that sounds good.
They want
good.
To save the bulbs.
Save the bulbs or the buds?
Oh, the buds, rather.
The buds aren't going to do anything.
Oh, okay.
So I wouldn't worry about saving buds.
If you want to send a clarification text, do that.
Yeah. If you want to propagate from the cuttings, that's one thing. But if you want to save the buds, there's not much to save.
All right, let's see. Well, we've got so many texts here, Julie.
Text.
When and how do you prune blueberry bushes?
Pruning blueberry bushes, you would. I'm going to direct you to our blueberry webpage for that. I would prune those in the spring. I actually would look for any dead branches and prune those off. Make sure they're completely dead. And you can do that by just bending them a little bit and see if they snap, or scratching them with your fingernail or something to see if there's any green tissue. You don't want to prune a lot in the spring because you'll prune off the flower buds for the berries. So you don't want to do that. But you do want to cut anything dead or broken off in the spring. And then if you're going to do any additional pruning, that would be after they bloom.
All right.
So I would take a look at that webpage. Blueberry bushes, really, the ones that we grow here in Minnesota are quite small, and they really don't require a whole lot of pruning except to prune off dead branches.
You mentioned, Julie, the website. The texter wanted to have you repeat what it is.
Yes, extension.umn.edu, and we are under Yard and Garden.
All right. What is the best way, texter says, to get Stella Doro ready for spring?
Just cleaning up the dead leaves.
What is that besides star of
gold? It's a daylily.
Oh, okay.
Star of gold. You and your expert Italian language. Just cleaning up the dead leaves from last year. They're going to be all kind of brown and laying all over the ground. And just cutting them back or just raking them up if they've fallen off. That's all.
All right.
Pretty easy.
Let's see. We still have a couple of minutes to go. Just wondering, texter says, if you can transplant a cactus plant. It is blooming again right now, but would wait till after it is done. Thank you.
Yeah, you can. If it's a very prickly one, you need some really good gloves, maybe two pair of gloves on each hand, or two gloves on each hand. And then, yes, you would just use a clean pot, cactus soil, and then carefully repot it. Repot it.
Okay. I bought, texter says, several small evergreen dwarf Alberta spruces, I think they're trying to say, from a big box store at Christmas for decorations. I have nursed them all winter. Should I plant outside now? It carried over.
Well, I'm not sure if those are hardy here. If you've been growing them indoors, they're probably more likely an indoor plant. But you can grow them outside at least during the warm season and into fall. And you might want to do some research a little bit more on those spruces and see if they are something that you can plant in your yard. We are in zone 4 here.
Zone 4. I think we can have one more call, Julie. Okay. Larry is calling in from Maple Lake. Larry, what can we do for you?
Well, yes, last summer my strawberry plants had many buds, but the chipmunks got them.
Oh.
And also, it's been quite shady, so I'm thinking about transplanting to an area where the chipmunks can't get at it. Is this a good time to do it?
It would be a good time when it warms up. So just wait about 6 weeks, do it maybe in May, and you'll see the plants starting to come up. It's a little bit early to be moving plants. And so just wait till it warms up. I would say you could move them around Memorial Day or third week of May after the frost-free dates. And that will give the plants plenty of time to set fruit.
All right. Thanks, Larry. Being this weekend is so hot, that's a texter says.
Oh, yeah, hot.
Can I still trim my maple tree?
Won't be hot when it's 63 in July.
No, no.
Yes, you can still prune your maple tree. Just be aware that the sap will drip out of it, likely.
Oh, I saw somebody must have tapped a maple tree I saw.
Oh, nice.
Where I was driving down the road. I thought, that must be.
Yeah, they have a bucket hanging on it?
I think they did. It looked, yes, but with this cool. warm
that's
temperature,
going on
it's
at the
happen.
Arboretum pretty quick here is the maple. The maple syruping and pancake breakfast, et cetera.
You know, we should mention more of that since we only have a minute to go.
Yes.
Let's talk about the Arboretum.
Yeah, go out to the Arboretum. It is a fantastic place to be. We finished up the flower show. They're starting to do the maple syruping. You can look on their website for those dates. And the paths are shoveled, and you can do some nice walking. It'd be a great weekend to be out there. I'm going to be out teaching a houseplant class today. So
today?
That's where I'm headed after the show.
All right. And you can, I remember Mary saying it too, there are places to have a snack there too.
Yes, yeah. There's a restaurant, and you can take the food out of the restaurant and go sit outside with it, or you can sit inside and watch all the turkeys and the bird feeders.
And given this weather, it's going to be a beautiful
it's
weekend.
It's going to be a good weekend to be there.
Well, have fun today.
Thank
Julie,
you.
And we'll see you down the road a couple
yeah,
weeks or so.
Put your sunscreen on today when you're outside.
Good idea. Thank you so much. And don't forget to set your clocks ahead. 1 hour. Ahead 1 hour. We lose an hour of sleep overnight tonight, just to be sure.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.